Mark's quick is going to stop the fight, and this is going to be it.
You know, I started having a little bit more fun in there. I started taking my range and started opening it up.
Max Payne
somebody like Jacare problems on the ground, then I guess I deserve my black belt.
Kevin, the trailblazer!
Here I am, crazy.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I have what we hope is a good show today. We have Kevin Holland coming back on the show and Max Griffin, who we were supposed to have a couple of weeks ago, but things got jostled around. We have Max on as well, making his first appearance. And it'll be nice to get a chance to finally talk to him. I really am going. I'm going to have to put my glasses on when I read this stuff. He's fighting Song Kanan, or is it Kanan Song? I don't know. It's listed differently everywhere you go.
I always enjoy talking to Kevin Holland.
I love him. Yeah. I
can't wait until we talk to him. And his fight with Derek Brunson is one that I am really, really looking forward to.
And this is his first main event, I believe.
So really? We'll, is that right?
I'm pretty sure.
You're probably right with that.
Yeah, I will ask him, but I'm almost positive that this is his first main event. If not, well, then I feel stupid.
Yeah, Jimmy, I feel stupid often. Are we going to talk about the fights first? Who's coming on first? Kevin?
Kevin should be on very shortly.
All right. Well, until he gets here. First of all, how are you, buddy?
I'm very tired, but I'm okay. The whole daylight savings always fucks me up for one day.
It is nice, though. It's nice that it's lighter later. You know what I mean? Like it's staying lighter late. It's 6:30. It's still sunlight. I'm saying it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Well, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm pointing out the obvious. I'm just saying it's nice. It's a little gloomy in New York when it's dark at 4:30 PM. It's just a little, you know?
Yeah.
Jimmy, you.
I'm looking at this because I saw something that said that it was Kevin's first main event. And now I'm making sure. I want to make sure I get that right. Yeah.
Well, all I know is the undercard. Oh, what about Ronnie Yahya? What about Ronnie Yahya? It is his first event, by the way.
I thought so. Okay. Just making sure.
Ronnie Yahya's, you know, he's like the little Damian Maya of that division. Strangling people. Yeah. I love his jiu-jitsu, you know?
Yep.
And he looks like you're just everyday guy, you know? Grinning, skinny guy, little Brazilian guy, but man, could he strangle people?
Wasn't there one? Did Ray Rodriguez handle that incorrectly on the floor?
You're talking about
in the loss, Yaya's just win, his win over Rodriguez.
What do you mean? Did he handle what
round? When he was on the floor, wasn't he on the floor?
He submitted him.
Yes. Yeah. I'm saying, what should Rodriguez have done differently in that moment? Because wasn't there one moment where Yahya was, they were kind of close to the cage and he was having a hard time securing the choke, and then he finally pushed him far enough away from the cage and was able to secure the whole head and arm choke?
Well,
or he was turning the wrong way or something. Well, they said he kept putting his arm into it.
Yes, he was reaching with his arm over, and you know, you should really have your arms in tight to your body as frames, and sometimes you have the sometimes it's an instinct to try to hold the person. So you're reaching around, but you're really just holding them on top of you. And you're putting yourself in a position to get your carotid artery closed and strangled, arms triangle,
yeah.
You know? And you've seen, sometimes guys do it in half guard because they feel like a guy can't finish from there. But I've seen guys even in training, I like getting it from there because it forces the guy, because you can close the carotid artery by putting the weight forward, even when your leg is trapped in half guard, the way Ronnie's was. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, but a lot of guys can't finish from there if they're not putting if they don't know how to distribute their weight correctly. But if you're going with a master Jedi like fucking Ronnie Yaya. I love saying his name.
Yeah, you do.
I'll see Ronnie Yaya all day long.
Sure. I'll enjoy it every time.
He's so dangerous. And I seen someone who else just finished somebody with the head and arm choke from the half guard.
Was it this weekend?
It was recent and it's bothering me now. We watch a lot of fights, Jimmy.
It
happened recently.
Was it the week before head and arm choke on the,
I don't know. Not going to find that ship has sailed. It'll come to me eventually. But my point is, you should have your arms in proper framework instead of reaching over, arms underneath, underhooks. I think either DC or Bisping was saying he should be looking to get his arm underneath for the underhook. I love taking the back and reversals and getting out and up from the half guard with my underhook. So that's the thing that he should be fighting for instead of just reaching up and whatnot. I think he was a black belt too, though, Rodriguez, wasn't he? I think they said that. But I don't know.
Yeah, was it Makhachev? Was it that fight?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But there's another thing that we're talking about with jiu-jitsu. There's a big difference when you're rolling in class and you're in a fight, in as far as jiu-jitsu goes. Now, I was just texting
Was his win over Drew Dober a head and arm choke?
Oh, wait. Drew Dober a head? Yes, I think that was the one. Yes, from Islam. Yeah. Wasn't it?
Yes. Okay,
Let the guy do the research. Because we keep throwing shit out.
He's a man of few words. He just put Makhachev, but he didn't put who was the Dober fight.
Thank
you. Yes.
Makhachev is fucking awesome. But dude, I got ADD, so we can't.
I'm sorry. You were talking about the training.
I'm talking about the difference with jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
And fucking in class and in a fight, in a fucking fight. Right. You need to use your legs as to manage the distance, especially on bottom. For instance, now look, it's so funny, man. I was talking to my financial advisor. He's a good guy. One of my black belts, Aaron Friedman. And we were talking about just something, something with my business. And then I was going over, the fights just before we get on air. And there was a fight I was watching with Jordan versus Rojo. Did you see that fight? The bantamweight fight?
Yeah, I did. I saw all the fights.
Such a good fight, Jimmy. The first two rounds competitive, but it came down when in this, the third round, when Jordan got on top, I even took pictures of it because I was sending it to my guy. You seen from the bottom, Rojo, who was durable, and looks like he's not an easy guy to submit down there because he's squirmy, but his legs, he's totally dead from the legs, from the waist down. In other words, there's a pick I took right here, and it was at 213 of the third round, and on top, Jordan is just holding his ankles, and Jordan's legs are just fully stretched out. Now, two things can happen there. One, if a guy's good at leg locks, he can lay down with it, and you can't protect it properly. And two, the guy can just throw your legs aside and either get cross-eyed, or in this case, Jordan was throwing the legs aside and coming down with a fucking vicious grounded pound. So that you need to have those knees in your chest chambered, Jimmy.
Right.
Look at this. Look at this fucking picture. I'm looking at people at home can just picture what I'm saying. But do you see this picture here? See how his legs are out?
Yep. Yeah.
He should be in his chest. A la Hensel Gracie versus Oleg Taktarov back in fucking 1998. But anyway, his legs were chambered. Oleg went to grab his feet. Boom. You have power to up kick and knock somebody out.
Right.
So they're going to go back and they're going to look at that fight. And that could have made all the difference in that fight. But on the waist down, sometimes in class, like when you guys are, when people are rolling and they want to keep it a little bit more realistic, you don't have to smack each other or nothing, but just a simple rule of thumb, too close or too far. Okay. If you're right in the middle and you both could just reach up and smack each other like that, if you both give a little smack, Jimmy, I wish I could just reach into the Zoom and just give you a little smack in the face.
Get in line.
And I'd say, listen, they have to just use the lower body, how to manage the distance with your legs, is something that I think a lot of guys are going to be missing, like, or missing from that game, because they don't practice that in training. Like, I don't know. All right, Jimmy, that was just all my, my simple brain.
Well, I also wanted to ask you too, what you thought. I want to talk about Mateus Nicolau against Manel Kopp. I thought Kopp kind of did enough. Nicolau started the third round very strong. What did you think, Matt? Did you think, cause Kopp lost that split decision and he was pretty, shocked. I kind of thought that he pulled it together at the end of the third round. What did you think?
As far as Kopp should have.
It was close. It wasn't like a robbery, but I kind of thought like, I thought he, it was definitely one round apiece going into the third. And I thought he kind of, he should have got the nod.
I'm going to be honest, Jimmy. I have to watch that third round again.
Okay.
I'm going to be totally honest with you because I don't want to take it away from Nicolai. I know it was fucking close.
Yeah, very close.
But something, it's a similar situation. And I don't know if you're going to remember that. And we'll get back to that fight because it was a fucking good fight. And it was on the undercard. I'm looking for it. Oh, there you go. It was JJ Aldridge versus Courtney Casey.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you something. First of all, JJ Aldridge, tough,
very durable,
aggressive, tried to stick to the game plan.
Yep.
And I don't want to take nothing away from that girl for her effort in that fight.
Right.
But I really thought Courtney Casey won that fight, to be honest with you. I thought that she made the corrections into that third round, and the way it ended could be, this is what these judges, I think sometimes have very short memories. Yeah. So they think at the end, I mean, there was like that low blow in the last round, in a round that she dominated. You can't give something on it. You can't give, if somebody gets a takedown and the person on the bottom, first of all, the first takedown in the first round, Courtney Casey was doing excellent off her back. I mean, just beating her up on her back, just doing great on her back. You know, both submission wise, it's, in other words, she didn't just sit down and let her settle and guard. Right. She was immediately aggressive with her attacks, you know, and I loved it. I thought it was great. And, you know, I thought she won the first and third round for sure, you know, and it's I could see I could see why she'd be frustrated. Because, you know, I mean, listen, Aldridge was in there, like she was in the fight. She had to weather some bad, some hard shots. She's got a hell of a chin on her, you know?
Yeah.
But it's rough when you see someone lose a close fight like that. Where you, like, I thought she won that fight. Yeah. But, you know, hey, oh my.
I understand. Buddy.
Kevin Holland is ready right now.
Good.
We're going to get back to these fights.
Looking for a new home or you want to save on your current mortgage? Visit rate.com and you could get massive savings with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Rates are at historic lows and you could land that dream home or refinance to potentially cut your current payments in about 15 minutes. Visit rate.com today to get started with Guaranteed Rate. Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. Savings, if any, vary based on a variety of factors. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS Consumer Access.
He's working out. Look at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You know what I mean?
How's your, this is your first main, correct?
Yeah.
So how's your preparation?
First main with the UFC.
Okay.
Before I got to the UFC, I was the main event boy. You know what I mean? So getting back to the roots.
You know what's so funny, Kevin? You're so, You're such a like the life of the party. It doesn't feel like it's the first main event for you. I feel like you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, it's a boogie with the woogie, and I'm down to boogie. You know what I mean? The life of the party. I'm gonna go out there disco balling. You know what I mean? Let's get it started.
Oh shit! Yeah.
You've really had your last couple of fights. First round. So you kind of took no damage in your last couple of fights. So you have to feel good going into this one.
I feel good, minus sitting at home warming the bench while everybody else has been working this year. Other than that, I feel great. You know, I mean, I've been working at home, but I ain't been working in front of the people. You know, my memes have gotten better, but that's about it. You know, so I need to go out there and see if I've actually gotten better. So
we just talked to Darren Stewart too, and I watched your fight with him again, and it was so fun to watch you and him going back and forth. And one of the things that's so comfortable with you is the way you kind of talk to guys in the cage, and it seems really natural and it's not forced. Do you ever think that plays on their mentality at all? I don't think you do it for that reason, but do you ever think that, because I thought Jacare started playing back with you, which I thought was a terrible mistake by Jacare. Do you ever see a change what they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. If you watch them in normal fights and then you watch them when they fight me, it's two totally different things. You know, the fight's a lot more mental than it is physical, they say, you know, and that's if you let the mental get to you. If not, then when you get in there, it's a physical warfare. You know what I mean? So, yeah, if they let the talking get to them, you know, sucks for them. But if they go in there like Darren Stewart did and just embrace and enjoy the moment, then it's a fun fight, you know, and it's still a fight that I win. You know?
Yeah. When you look at like old fight, like I guess in a fight, it's hard to ignore it. You know, if you watch, like, go back to Ali Foreman. And, you know, when he was rope-a-doping, and Foreman was in a rage, they said, because Ali was just taunting,
yeah.
was taunting him in his ear. So it really does, I guess, play on a guy's desire to hurt you faster, which if that's what you want, you're really good at it.
Always. You always want them to hurt you faster, especially when you got a kung fu background. You know what I mean? So everything's self-defense. A guy asked me the other day in the gym, he was like, man, how do you keep that type of energy the whole time? I'm just defending myself the whole time. It's not no type of energy. I'm trying to stay alive. They're trying to take my head off. And if somewhere down the middle of my martial art prevails, it prevails. Thank God. You know, amen. Let's do it.
Man, that's why, like, did you see the knee the other day with Eric Anders?
Eric Anders or
Anders.
You don't want to talk about the other one?
Yeah, Anders, yeah.
No, not
Aljo Piotr Jan, the Eric Anders, Darren Stewart one. Yeah.
Yeah, I seen that one. Yeah. I was watching that fight closely.
I give these guys like a break sometimes, man, because especially in the one with Eric the other day, because like you said, you're defending yourself. You have a threat in front of you. Like, you know what I mean? He's not trying to score a goal on you. He's trying to fucking hurt you. So you're trying to end that threat. I know it's a sport, and you, as much as anybody, could be as relaxed in there. But some guys are just like, yo, I got to eliminate this threat. Is his hand down? His hand's up? His knee down? Is it up? I think it's up. And fuck, man. So it's like red light, green light. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Well, it's the fact that it's a sport, Matt. You don't, you know, it's like it's a two-way street. A, the guy who's on offense shouldn't be waiting for the red light, green light. Your green light is a punch right there. Small little uppercuts, little punches, rapid punches. We've seen them in fights plenty of time. Henry Cejudo, yeah. So good at it. And it's funny because he just got done talking about working with Henry. But it's like guys throw the knee there because, like you said, they want it in the fight. You know, they want the fight to be over. The fight's going to be over when the fight's over. Punch them. When the opportunity is there to knee, lock up a solid clinch, lock up a nice tie, and hit them with the knee. You know, but if their knee is down, if their hand is down, and if you're even questioning it in your mind, you're taking the chance on ultimately, you know, taking that punishment. Punch the guy. And then for the guy who's on defense, your life, if you were somewhere else, would be on the line. You know, quit playing the game. You know, they tell you in the back before you go out there, don't play the game. You know, don't put me in that situation. So I think a lot of times these guys are they're straddling the fence with their knee down and their hand down because they know they're safe there. Instead of just trying to get up, you're going to get hit. You just got to get up, you know.
You might have to take one in the process, or if not, you can go to your back. You can't stay on all fours. Like I said from the guy that fucking was on all fours when he got fucking lost his title, but hey, shit happens.
You live and you learn. That's how you learn.
Hey, man, you live, you learn. Fuck.
And I guess there is that situational awareness. I'm blanking on who it was. Who is the fighter, maybe one of you guys remembers, where there was one guy was trying to put his hands on the floor, and he was lifted. The other guy lifted
exactly
him a little.
Is, I know what you're talking about.
Do you know one I mean, though? And he drove his knee. But the beauty was he lifted his hands off the floor and in that moment drove his knee. That's some of the best awareness I've ever seen. Like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
What about that kickboxing match where the guy swept the lead leg and lifted his knee and knocked him out in the process of coming down? Now, that was nasty, too. You know, it's like, guys, just – when you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing. And, you know, when you get caught in a situation, back to those emotions, you know, when the emotions are running high and you do things like that. Versus if you were sparring and you're in the room, you wouldn't do that.
You even said in one of your quotes was you treat it like a glorified sparring session, which is awesome. I love that. But a lot of guys, they're fucking terrified. You can stay calm in the fucking chaos. A lot of guys, and you look, you're good in the storm. I'll tell you right now, more so than pretty much most people I've ever seen, dude. You're really good with that. But a lot of guys are fighting for their lives in there. You know what I mean? So they don't have that same thing. That's a unique quality that you have right there, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, the cage is, you know, the octagon, you know, that place is home. You know, it's like when you're doing martial arts, you know, it's so inviting. It's so nice. So, you know, ultimately, I really, really like it there. So, yeah, a little bit more comfortable than normal. Probably more comfortable than I am in my own bed.
And there is a difference to a foul like that, like a knee. There's like a, that's a situational thing. And a guy getting like, you know, the way Edwards and Bilal Muhammad ended, you know, there's a difference between, I think, those two fouls with a guy's hand being down and knowing you legally can't strike him and a hand just going up in the middle of the kick, even though they're both fouls. I guess that, you know, a knee to the head is just such a dangerous thing. I just hated to see that first fight end that way. And that was a goddamn good fight until that happened.
Doesn't one championship, don't they allow knees to the head from those
positions? Oh, I honestly don't know. I don't know. And you mean when an opponent would be considered down in UFC?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know the difference there. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I see a few fighters petition to allow it. You know, I think there needs to be some type of rule in the pedigree when they're playing the game that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good idea to start adding fucking soccer kicks. You know what I mean? A guy's on all fours.
Just for the Brunson fight.
Kevin Holland field goals his head. I don't know if that's the best
thing.
Brunson fight. You know, we just change it for one night.
Just,
and we can go back to
normal. Just for the Brunson fight.
You know.
Oh, shit, man. It's good, though. I'm looking forward to the Brunson fight.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really fun. You know, it's, I think it's going to be really fun. You know, it's going to be real good competition, I feel like, so.
And you have to start thinking, like, you have to be, I mean, obviously, you know, Marvin Vettori, there's some really dangerous guys in the top 10. But you also have to be looking towards getting a title shot relatively soon if you keep winning. I mean, you know, beating a guy like Brunson, who I think is 7 and you're 10. You know, there's maybe another fighter too.
Right after this fight, I'm getting a title shot. Look, this is the game plan. Okay. Right after this fight. So right after this fight, when I smoke Brunson, you know what I mean? I'm going to go to 170 pounds and fight Usman for the belt, because right now at 170 pounds, it's boring as hell and they ain't got nothing going on. I mean, I know you got the Masvidal with the BMF belt, and then you know, you got Edward, thinking that he deserves the belt because he, you know, he does have an 8-fight win streak, but now he's poking people in the eye and just feeling like that's all high glory and mighty. I mean, you got Wonderboy Thompson over there who makes a pretty good case. And plus, he's just a wonderful guy. Why not give him another title shot, even though he's fought for it a few?
Yeah.
It just makes sense, right? Just drop down, grab that, go back up, and then let Usman still be the champ after I avenge, you know, everybody in Arlington who keep complaining that he doesn't claim Arlington enough. Why not? You know?
You and Adesanya would be a very interesting personality and stylistic matchup, too. I think you're a guy that wouldn't be as great as Israel is. I think you're a guy that wouldn't be intimidated by the moment. And I think it'd be a really interesting to watch you guys interact. I think he got to Costa mentally. I think he really got to Paulo Costa. Even going in, I think Costa realized that Israel's not afraid of him. They had a really weird handshake moment before the fight, like a day or two before the fight. And for some reason, I think that he realized Israel was not intimidated by him at all. I don't think you would run into that. I think mentally, you guys would be a really, really interesting matchup.
Yeah. I mean, mentally, I like to fight with everybody. You know, it's like all the scraps are a good scrap. You know, and it's like everybody has something different and styles make fights. So you just have to adapt every single time. You know, and it's like with him, I think it's a lot mental before it is physical. You know, and so you guys were 100% right.
170 is no problem, though. It's, I mean, you've been,
I mean, with the nutritionist, for sure, I can hit 170 pounds. I only walk around at 196 when I'm fat, you know, 98 when I got all my clothes on and some jewelry on and stuff like that. You know, it's like, but for the most part, it's like after this workout right now, you know, it's like I'll probably go home, get on the scale, butt naked, and be 190 pounds, 192, you know. So why not give it a shot?
Messages? Who is that, Jimmy? You?
That's not, I'm in the locker room because it's loud.
Oh, shit. No, do you?
Everybody's having happy hour right now.
This Travis Luda is fucking behind the scenes.
Yeah, he's over there teaching class. He came in here and looked at me like, and I was like Matt's on the phone. Matt's on the phone. He was like,
that's hard. Oh. Travis Luda. It's so, I can't believe I would never have picked that guy as your cook. Personality wise, quietest guy, totally opposite of a big mouth. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Why? Listen, quiet but dangerous.
Have you heard him on the Joe Rogan show? He could talk a little bit.
Oh yeah, he's a smart motherfucker.
Was that your first Rogan that you did? You did Rogan not too long ago. Was that your first?
That was my first Rogan, but I'm gonna have to do another one because my coach was there, so I was scared to smoke. On the next one though, I will smoke.
Yeah. Oh, you'll smoke next time. How did you like it? The long form conversation. Did you enjoy it? Just a nice long chat.
Yeah, I always enjoy a chat. You know, it's like I'm a chatty person. I'm big mouth. You know, I like to talk, whether it's in the cage, out of the cage. I don't mind a conversation, you know, unless it's with some girl in my house that I don't really want to talk to, you know, then it's like, Lee, can you just leave?
Yeah. Now, have you ever encountered anybody, I don't know if I've asked you this before, but who has been able to do what you do mentally as good as you? Cause there are guys that are very good. You know, I think, Nate Diaz is obviously very good mentally. There's certain guys that are just almost unflappable. Have you encountered that somebody who you felt like, wow, this guy is really good at this as well?
No, because if they're good at it, I enjoy it. You know, it's like if they're good at talking crap, they're good at like, you know, spitting their bars, you know, I enjoy it. I think it's fantastic. I think it makes for good entertainment and stuff like that. The only thing I've ever seen would be a problem with me when it comes to other fighters would be getting ready for the fight. So it's like maybe something's going on in life that you just can't control and it's just beating you up. But now I'm 28 years old and whatever's going on in life, I'm realizing I can't control all that. I just control me. So no, not too much. I'm pretty happy with her. However they approach the fight, whether they want to talk crap or whether they want to be quiet, I'm going to have fun.
I'm looking forward to this Brunson fight. I mean, plus, who doesn't love watching Derek Brunson fight too? I mean, you know, he's just one of the most exciting guys in the division. What do you expect? What are you expecting out of him?
Out of Brunson, it's like I expect him to shoot and I expect to shoot back. You know, it's like I expect him to shoot for takedown and I expect me to cock the right hand like it's a 9mm and shoot it until I can't shoot it no more. You know what I mean? Either he's going to land his shot and it's going to be a ground warfare, or I'm going to land my shot and it's going to be mouthpieces flying, nose battered, eyes crooked, and a long, twisted night for that man.
This, you know what I like about this fight? This is the best version of Brunson that we've seen. I mean, look at his last three fights. I mean,
I was impressed by a Shabazzian fight. Yeah, I was impressed by a Shabazzian fight. The ability to do a little bit of everything, you know, take down when he needed to do the takedown, strike, struck better than he's ever struck before, more patient. I guess he's with Henry Hoof, right? That's his coach now. Henry Hoof, very good coach. Knows, he's a very educated guy, knows how to fix some things. And I've noticed that he fixed some things with Brunson, but Once a grappler, always a grappler, and there will be holes.
I mean, yeah, I his fight with Elias Theodoro. That Elias Theodoro, people used to give that guy shit because he used to be a ring card boy. Yeah.
But he was good. He was a martial artist. But if I'm not mistaken, didn't he run most of that fight?
Yeah, he's like he's like one of those guys that's like he's good at winning a decision. He's hard to win a decision from. Yeah. So Brunson, that's when I started seeing the more patient Brunson. Yeah. So I mean, like I said, dude. Always love, like, you're so entertained. This is the right time because a lot of guys, they're getting a little old, they start to fade. You're getting a great version of him. You're fucking awesome. So this
was
just
his birthday, so maybe those last three were the best three, and now he's back to the OG. You know,
I Kevin, that's so great. All right, listen, before I know you're training now, I don't want you to lose your sweat right now. We're gonna let you go.
Dude, but sweat. I'm just doing this because there would be nothing else to do today besides pack bags. So
in that case, we'll keep you for another fucking 45 minutes.
I don't have to go do no
more. How did Rogan have it? Listen, enough of this MMA shit, right?
Yeah.
What are you, give me something that you're either reading, you're watching, a video game you're playing. Give me something.
Know what? Honestly, this camp, I've been so freaking tired, dude. I haven't really watched or did anything new. I get on Call of Duty for like an hour and a half. I play 2K for a second, trying to get better before I have to play DC. And that's about it, man. I've been asleep. I've been so tired. I'm asleep. You know, me and my old lady, we went opposite ways again not too long ago. So between sleep, taking care of the kid, and every once in a while surfing for that, you know, that late night squirrel, trying to get that, you know, that coconut out of the tree.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy. Really,
I've been sleep. I've been so tired. It's been ridiculous, and I've been enjoying it. I told my coach, you know, to start off the year, I said I want to embrace the grind. I know we're gonna fight Brunson. He's a wrestler. He's supposed to be a wrestler. I want to embrace the grind. You know, it's like if I want to go down and do what I say I want to do at 170 pounds, he's a wrestler and I have to embrace the grind. So in order to be a better man, I had to learn how to embrace the grind. So that's all I've been worried about. If it ain't that, just really ain't been doing it, bro. Or shop.
And you're able
shop.
To
still go shopping.
Are you shopping?
I still go shopping though.
Just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
Jimmy's like a little chipmunk.
I know, but he probably does a lot better than I do at getting the nut. I mean, I do a lot of looking and very, very little getting. So you, now, are you able to, like, because I go through, like, when I go through a breakup, it fucks me up. I'm depressed. Are you able to kind of put that out of mind when you're focused on something?
Not depressed one so what's a bit. The reason why I'm not depressed is because it's not like I had a bad breakup. It's not like I was with a person that was a horrible person and I was just like, oh my God, this is the worst thing in my life. No, it was like, I want to focus on martial arts. You know, it's like, I want to focus on the grind. I want to be the best me I can be as far as going out there and trying to rip people's head off. You know, it's like before this was just something that I did and it was a pastime and I enjoyed it. It's honestly, I'm a professional athlete now. I make enough money to be a professional athlete. I don't have to have side jobs, side activities, nothing. So it's like now I'm at the point where it's like, this is the only thing I really want to do. If I'm not doing this or taking care of my son, you know, and spending some time with him, I don't really want to do it. You know, it's like, I may want to go out for a day and go hang out with some chick, but other than that, you know, it's like, it's me, my son, and punching people in the face. That's it.
That's great.
You concentrate on the grind. Yeah. Jimmy concentrates on grinder. That's what he concentrates on. Jimmy?
Yeah. No, I mean, come on. We all have things accidentally wind up on our phone.
Let's go.
You know, somebody notices you delete. Oh, who put that there? Oh. All right, look. You know, we love you, man. We love watching you. And this fight against Brunson, because again, like Brunson, like yourself, has also looked incredible over his last few fights. So congratulations on the first UFC main event.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll talk to you after. And I'm looking forward to a great fight this week.
And Brunson, can I get one message to Brunson before we go?
Sure.
Brunson, nothing mean, buddy, but please I always get cut on this side. Give me a little cut so I can get 2 weeks off after the fight. Because if not, I only get a couple days off. And man, my coaches have been killing me, Bucko. So please, just a little cut right here. Looks safe.
A little cut over the left
side. A little cut on the left side, Bucko. Don't do it on the right side. Okay. Do it on the left side.
All right. Well, if we talk to him this week, we'll tell him you'd prefer a cut on the left side. Good talking to you, Kevin.
Thanks.
Stay out of traffic to me.
Take care, man.
What's up, Max?
Fuck your name. Matt Sarin this thing. What's up, man?
You look ready for war.
Bro, this is a beautiful thing.
How is your, I was reading that you got a mental coach and it kind of changed your outlook on things. Is that kind of, are you still sticking with that? And how has it affected you?
Last fight was my first fight with the guy. In my last fight, I had fun, thrashed the guy, chopped the guy's ear off. So now it's like, let's have more fun. We added some more tools. And I just can't wait to unleash, man.
Yeah. Was there anything mentally that you weren't happy with? Like, was there anything that was happening that you're like, I want to fix this. I don't like how I'm feeling, or I don't like my thought pattern, or was there something that made you want to do it?
Not really. I've been at Team Alpha Male, started going over there for the last like year and some odd months. Just added it to my regimen. I still go to my other teams, MMA Gold and Marin Nobles, but I was over there at Alpha Male, and he works with a few of those guys. Andre Feely's one of them. And they were on me. Hey, this guy, you know, work with this guy. And my mind's strong. I don't feel like I need, you know, need that kind of thing. But I was like, you know what? I'll give him a chance. And the proof is in the pudding, bro. He proved it to me. He went back and watched some of my old fights and watched them with no sound, actually. And he's like, dude, when you're smiling, like the Mike Perry fight, some of my better performances, you had a good time. He's like, when you're all tense and serious, you hold back a little, you're tight, right? I mean, when you're just like this, we can't do everything we want. And I had to kind of be in more of a flow state and what puts me in a good place. And I did more of that. And I was like, you're right. So I started training like that. In my sparring sessions, even I'm fighting these world champion guys, sparring these guys, I had more fun. And then I was more effective. They seemed slower. My reflexes were there, my timing. And so I you know, I trained my whole last camp actually like enjoying this. Like I'm in the UFC, like I'm living my dream. I'm, you know, I'm not doing something I don't want to do. And then it kind of worked itself out, man. And I saw the fruits of my labor.
That's funny, man. They keep it simple like that because if you it's almost like remembering what you got into it for. Like I enjoy fighting. Like that's like when you keep it simple, but when you put everything else on it, like if I don't win this and I don't make the get half the money, or there's so much stuff you go, everybody's watching. But if you keep it simple, it's something that most of us that really are fighters would probably do for free. Not that you want to tell the promotion that, but it's something like, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to fucking tell certain people that. No, but seriously, man, that's a great way of looking at it. You know what's interesting about these therapists? I'm not hearing of any bad ones. Like, you don't hear of somebody, well, I guess because maybe you're not interviewing the guys getting their ass kicked. Some of these guys probably went to some bad ones.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, picture you're under a waterfall and I don't know, some bullshit. And
I mean, I've met some people and I've spoken to some people that I kind of helped. Because I'm pretty sharp, bro. I read and all this stuff and I'm really about, you know, all that stuff. And there's people that, like, I don't know if I can help you, bro. Like, I met with some people that, like, I don't know if I could even help you. And I'm like, thanks for being honest. Like, I was teaching them some stuff, you know, which is, you know, pretty cool. You know, that's why I didn't know I needed help. But, hey, I feel like you could always learn. You could always get better. I strive to always grow. And it never ends, bro.
We just, before you, Max, we just had Kevin Holland. And I think, Matt, you had asked him about the fact that he had said, like, he told someone, hey, it's just like a glorified sparring session. Like, I guess that's how mentally he looks at it. And he's always so relaxed in the cage. So that helped you a little bit just to change the attitude. It like takes some of the pressure off in the cage.
Yeah. When I walked out to my last fight, my coach is like, son, like when you go spar at the gym, you don't know who you're going to spar, but you fuck them all up. Right. I'm like, yeah, same shit. And especially with COVID, how it's quiet, and I feel like it's more martial artsy, and it's me versus you with my team. It's a lot less calm. I feel like even like between the rounds and stuff, this last fight, I was nonchalant. I was talking to you guys like right now, Max, we need more volume, give me the water. Like it wasn't like you know, it gets so like crazy in there. I mean, I've been in some major pay-per-views and some huge cards, and it's bananas. Like the energy is crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
That relates. That it's too true. That definitely you could picture it. It's more like if you visit like a different gym for some sparring, and it's like, all right, man, you get those little nerves of,
yeah,
all right, it's quiet in here, and I don't, you know, this guy isn't like my everyday buddy. Like, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things, like, you know, it's a different feel than having that whole arena of, I'm relating it to like when I fought on Tough. That's the only thing I can relate.
Yeah.
So it was like eerie quiet. You could hear every shot. You know what I mean? But when you got the thunderous crowd around you, it's like fucking Thunderdome, Jimmy. That's an old
room. It sucks you, man.
I've been in the room many times. Of course, I've never fought. But you can, there is an energy you're getting from all of those people doing stuff. There's no way to not feel that especially if you're going into fight. There's no, if I feel it as a guy watching, that somebody fighting has to feel that energy when you're walking in.
Yeah, I think it could be draining and pump you up at the same time. It brings a whole nother layer. You know, I remember fighting some guys and they'll throw a shot that didn't land, but the crowd thinks it landed, and, you know, the announcer's saying something and the crowd's going crazy. I mean, I do miss the crowd, but I mean, you could steer you the right way and it could steer you the wrong way. You know, it could have you throw too many punches, you know, get you unsafe. You know, you hear the crowd, so then you drop your hands and start trying to bang and then you get caught. So I feel like, but there's nothing like shutting that crowd up. There's nothing like Shut now. I've been an underdog. I'm always an underdog, bro. I'm here. Huh? You know.
Oh, fuck.
I love shutting those crowds up, shutting those countries up. I remember I fought in Mexico when my second fight. Donald Trump just got elected that weekend before. And, dude, they were throwing beer. It was November 5th, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow.
It was throwing beer at me. It was in Mexico. I had the American flag. Boo. There was beer all over me coming out. I fought the Mexican Ultimate Fighter winner.
Oh.
And Eric Montano and finished him in like 40 seconds. And that crowd was a pin drop. It was great, you know?
I've heard a baseball player say that. Not heard. I've heard that. And it might have been Ty Cobb. So, of course, I didn't actually hear him say it. But the greatest sound is the silence of an opposing team's crowd. Like when you shut up that many people and they're so unhappy with what you just did. That's even greater than being cheered.
I feel like they sent me to the Wolves. I mean, I've fought Mike Perry in Orlando.
Yeah.
Shut them up. You know, I've been to Brazil a few times. I feel like they threw me to the wolves, baby. But hey, I love it. Right? There's a different feeling.
Well, you know what, Max? I really can't relate. I fought Chris Lytle in his hometown, and I fought GSP in Montreal. I took a little bit of a beating both times. So listen, I didn't really. I actually put the crowd loved me afterwards. They were very nice to me. I didn't shut them up at all. I got them. I made their month.
They gave you reason to cheer. You made them happy.
They're like, yeah. But listen, it is what it is. It's all fun. But Max, listen, you said you like to read. What? And reading, watching something, you're streaming. Give me something. I'm always on to get a new series. And Jimmy likes to read once in a while.
Occasionally.
I mean, a good book that changed my life is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza. It's all about energy, and I believe in energy and vibes, and I'm not religious. I mean, I believe in God, but I'm more like spiritual and good people and like energy, bro. This book, he's like a neuroscientist or something, but he shows like how your thoughts like really do create, you know, there's a part in the book, that's about how your mind can like grow physical strength. They did a study. They did like a hand strength test with a bunch of people, but they had one group actually like do the weight thing, like for strength, for like a week. And they had one group just like think about it, think about doing it every day for an hour. Then they had a group meditate on it. So you have to have the conscious thought. And then like love, you got to have like passion. Like you have to like believe. The group that obviously did the strength building grew strength. The people who just thought about it, nothing happened. And then the people who meditated on it had like an 18% increase in strength from just your body. Your body doesn't know the difference between what your mind does if you like believe that much.
So this is about more of your body. Like, I think the secret is about positive stuff in the universe. If you think it, this is different. This is more about your own.
This is different. This is facts on, I mean, it goes physical, mental. It's a crazy book, but it's true. It's true. I mean, there's hundreds of examples of different things like that with the physical and mental and, but your mind is so powerful. And the more you know about your mind, because I already believe in like thinking about certain stuff. And like when people like think about you or you think about something, you think about somebody, call them. You know, there's different things that you know, that come your way. And you just got to listen, man. And the more that, like, if there's like coincidences that ever happen in your life or really good things that happen, you pay attention to those and you're thankful for those. Like more stuff comes. Of that, like to like remind you that you are on the right thing, and it's a great book, man. And it sounds kind of crazy. I'm crazy, but it's facts. It put facts behind my crazy thoughts.
Wow, very interesting. Yeah,
check that book out. Really, it's a good book. I couldn't put this book down. Like I passed it to a bunch of my friends. It changed a bunch of people's lives. even with like bad talk and people that are negative all the time, like your body is used to those chemicals in your brain. So your body wants to feel like that. And if people are negative all the time and they bring more to themselves, it there's a whole gambit of stuff in there. But it's a great book. I recommend you guys read that book. I swear to God, it'll make your lives better.
Right, the chemicals in the brain.
What's the name of it again? Chemicals
in the brain. Breaking the habit of being yourself.
Very interesting.
Well, it's like when you panic or when you're thinking negative thought, you can almost feel like this weird warm thing being dumped on your brain. It's usually a shitty feeling, but there's definitely a physical feeling you get when you're thinking certain things or certain tension. It feels like there's something being dumped into your chest. Yeah. So you definitely have a physical
reaction. And that's on the thought. That's on the thought. Think about that. If you people that live in the past are depressed, and people that thinking or people that are depressed are thinking about the past, and people that have anxiety are thinking about the future. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, and you can't change the past. So you got to live in the moment, like right this second. It's always now. It's now, right now. And in 5 seconds, it's going to be now again. So if you live in the moment, because we're not fortune tellers, even, you know, who knows what's going to happen today, you know? Who knows? You have stuff planned. I have an appointment at 4, but who knows? And you can't know. You kind of got to let go of knowing so freaking much, because if you think about it, if you know what's going to happen, then you're thinking in the past and you don't know. You really don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
It reminds me of that scene from that great movie, educational movie, Spaceballs, and they were trying to find the scene. Now is now. What's happening now is right now. I forget. Listen, you have to see the movie. But Spaceballs,
I've seen it. Yeah,
that book. I recommend. Listen, I need to read more. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to put this book up.
I actually did the audio too. I did the audio on it. But I've changed numerous people's lives, bro. I'm not a life changer, but it was so powerful that I gave it to my brothers, my best friends. You know,
the habit of breaking the
breaking the habit of being yourself.
You didn't send a copy to Kanan Song, did you? I hope you didn't send him a copy.
No.
Okay, good.
I got something else for him.
Hey, listen, Max, we're in the hurt business, but shit, man, how did it to see that ear before I issue what's happening next? How did you feel when you seen
Ramiz Brahimi?
Jimmy, his ear got ripped off.
Yes, it did.
Did they save the ear? Is it on still?
I saw a picture. I guess he has some humor about it. Someone sent me a picture of him. He was holding up a pot sticker next to his ear, a goiza, and he has so many stitches on that ear. Like, you know, them getting stitched up. How is he? Oh, he's fine. Easy fix. I'm like, you're full of shit. You're full of shit. No way it's easy fix. No right. way. Dude, it was so disgusting. It stopped me fighting. I stopped fighting.
Dude.
I stopped. Like, dude, I had head pressure, and then I peeled back.
Fuck.
It was like, oh, dude, I seen it in his head. I almost threw up. I said, wow, oh, my God. Dude. Look at me. Like, he stopped fighting, too. He looked at me like, what?
That was a rough one, Jimmy.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I remember that.
I'm no doctor, but they better put some Gorilla Glue on that shit. Listen, Jimmy, I wouldn't want anybody. I wouldn't want to even roll jiu-jitsu. I mean, that's.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine, like.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd roll again.
It's a rough game we play.
I'd probably get it so just flushed in my head.
Yeah.
You know, really get it like attached because, I mean.
I think he's going to be out.
Bro.
He's going to be out for a minute, like the kids say.
Yeah. Wow. That's all right. Scary. I'm looking at pictures of it now. That is a very scary.
Yeah, I'm not going to look at that right now.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, Max, look, obviously you seem very, very ready for this fight. You're on. It's a good card on Saturday night. And it's good finally having you on. We were hoping to get you sooner. We're really happy it worked out where we were finally able to get you on and talk to you.
Yeah, man. No, you know. Dude, I'm still thinking about that ear. Sorry.
Max, you're not you don't watch any Netflix or any shows, any streams or anything, or you just purely a book guy?
No, I'm not I don't read too much, you know.
What are you watching? 90 Day Fiance? What are you watching?
I watch a lot of like nature shows. I watch a lot of like Nat Geo stuff, like those cool cameras and the animals like shredding shit apart.
Oh, shit.
They have really cool cameras.
When though. You said animal stuff, I thought like maybe some Diaz by a lake getting a sip. I thought something like calming. He's like, animals ripping each other apart. Jesus, Max. Jimmy, I was way off. I thought this was part of the meditation part of no, this is getting ready to rip somebody apart.
Hey, bro, I'm so on edge. I think because I had just had my son, man.
Oh, yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
27th, yeah.
Yeah, like I have a 9-year-old, but he's like a grown man now.
Yeah, so, I know.
My little baby, bro. I feel like a papa bear, like a mama bear, like my primal, like my young. I'm like defending my young, bro. And not like I needed any more juice, but yeah. Dude, I think about the fight, I get like tears in my eyes, and I'm just ready to everyone that's driving, my road rage,
right, Max? Max, you ever see the buffaloes trying to? You ever see the buffaloes trying to defend the their offspring? And if then the lions got them surrounded and shit, that's some wild stuff. Once I watched the buffaloes with the lions, they get Jimmy.
The water.
Yeah, like the big buffaloes with the fucking horns. Once in a while, they'll have their day. The buffaloes, but usually the big cats just fuck with them. They're just like they just jump around them, jump on their back.
But they fight to the death.
What's that?
They'll fight to the death. They'll fight. I seen this one fighting with his whole fucking guts out of his body the other day on Nature's Metal. If you don't follow Nature's Metal on Instagram.
No, you never heard of
it. Yeah, dude, look right now. It's the most gnarly shit they can't even show on TV.
It's animals fighting?
It's animals. It's all
what
animals.
What is it called?
Like, Nature is Metal. Aspen Ladd told me about it, actually.
Nature is the most
gruesome. It's Nature is Metal, like M-E-T-A-L.
I get.
Yes.
Oh.
But it shows like, it's wild. Yeah.
I'm going to follow this.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, I'll look that up as well. I'm looking it up as we talk.
There's one on there with the guts hanging out of its body. This lion fights this like gazelle thing, and it rips all its organs out. And it gets up and still fighting with his whole intestines, everything out. Fighting to the death, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some crazy stuff on there.
And you realize what pricks lions are. Well, lions are such pricks. Like, you've seen so much, there's so much footage of them just eating other animals alive. Like, there's some dumb elk just going like, and they're just eating it while it's alive. They're really
what the
nasty.
Fuck, Jimmy, you want them to order some Domino's? What do you want them to do, Jimmy? What do
kill
you
it
want
first.
Them to do?
How about you kill it? How about you have some decency?
I mean, listen, it'll die in time, but that they got to get their stomachs full.
I know. Or start with the neck. Don't start with the hindquarters and work your way up while it's fucking yelping. But nature's ugly.
Speaking of nature, Jimmy, if we were in the same studio, I'd attack you like a gazelle. Like you're my gazelle. I bite your neck. I'm sorry, Max. I didn't want you to see that.
Yeah.
Max, man, thanks for hanging out with us, buddy.
Yes, definitely fun.
No, you guys are dope, man.
And good luck on Saturday, and we'll talk to you definitely again. Talk to you on the side of the fight.
Thank you.
Jimmy, we're back.
Yeah, we are.
I'm doing a couple of takes in case I was just laughing too much off air. Listen, I know we're not doing the picks right away.
Right.
I know that. But I wanted to talk about a couple more fights before we get out of here. We're
absolutely.
Getting Semi the Jedi on here. Because his fight with Jason Witt, that's what we were talking about, that 16-second knockout.
Yeah, 16 seconds.
Whoa! Makes me say, that noise, that's why I love the game in the VR Population 1. Because at least, when I play that at least 3 or 4 times a day in my house, you're going to hear, whoa!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jimmy, when I get a nice kill, the other day, my kids are on Zoom, and I might have said this yesterday or the other day because it happened last week. But my wife comes up and she's like, you're being very loud. You're being very, very loud. The kids are not on mute. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm sorry. Because I'm like, where is he, squad? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Is he up top? And it's annoying. That annoys me. So my kids, they hear that in the background. And the kids' teachers probably think I'm a fucking maniac.
Well, they're
right. I'm like, where is he? Is that a sniper? Is it a sniper? Does anybody have a gold MP5? Jimmy, I love it. I live this shit. Oh, Jimmy. Oh, fuck. But anyway, back to the fights.
Well, we should definitely talk about the main event.
I know.
Because we all, we love Bilal Muhammad and, of course, Leon Edwards. And I did feel, even though Leon did it, I did feel bad for him that it happened. But calling for a title shot, I think Chael Sonnen had a very funny observation that the road to the 170 strap doesn't go through Bilal's eye.
Wait, who's
and I think it was a very funny quote that I read that Chael said.
That's actually hysterical.
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. I probably butchered it.
Oh,
but
shit.
I love Leon Edwards, but I kind of think that that was real. I felt, I mean, Bilal Muhammad was crying, and not just because of the pain. I think he realized, like, fuck, there was this shot that is so.
Well, you know what? Whenever we talked to Bilal, I would wonder if that was part pain, more pain, or more
mental anguish,
emotion of being like this.
Yeah.
Listen,
I think you're right.
It looked like Leon Edwards was winning.
He was, yeah.
And he was looking great. I didn't see any ring rust there. But a fight's a fight. And Bilal Muhammad doesn't get tired. So, you know, again, you never know how it would go, even though from the indication of what happened in the earlier round, you know, I mean, it looks right. Like Leon Edwards was just looking great, you know? And I really want to see him. I would love to see him versus, I mean, he deserves. Look, he took this fight because he took the fight. He was supposed to fight Khamzat. There was all powers beyond his control that stopped him from fighting. And, you know, why we haven't seen him lately. So he finally is like, all right, Bilal, I'll step up. I'll fight him. You can't really knock him for taking this fight. And, you know,
yeah, of course.
Shit happens. So what are you going to do? I don't think they should really run it back. I don't, you know what I mean? I think that. We'll see what's next because we did see them compete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But a title shot's a little rough.
Title shot might be rough, but then we need someone else fucking. Oh, well, who's in the top? Who's the top three? I mean, who's he asking
for? Leon, did he mention Covington? Obviously, he wants Kamaru Usman.
I would love to see him. I know. They probably got Masvidal's probably going to be fighting next, right? Is that what they're talking about? Because they could run that back. I personally would really love to see Masvidal versus Edwards.
Yeah,
he's an awesome martial artist. I mean, when's the last time he fought Kamara? I mean, look at he has a long ass streak. How many let us know this. He has like the second or third, the third longest streak in the welterweight division, unbeaten streak. I don't want to misquote that, guys. 8-fight win streak. I know, but I believe
Leon, yes.
In the history of the organization, I think it's the third longest win streak in that division. I might be fucking totally off, but if you guys could look that up, do it. You know?
Yeah.
You can't have me look up shit, Jimmy. I'll be here all day.
No, you're busy.
I'll be here all fucking day.
Please.
First of all, I know we're all over the place. We're talking about, we'll get all the fights. Well, how can we not talk about Angela Hill, though?
Third longest streak, Matt.
That's what I said, Jimmy. No reason for anybody to hear me yell like that. I apologize. I'm sorry. I knew that's what I thought, and I gotta just even myself more.
Yeah, of course,
Jimmy. A couple things we have to point out before we get back to that main card because I don't want to forget about it.
Right.
But Angela Hill is just so awesome. She fought. That was just because, you know, listen, Ashley Yoder was game.
Yeah.
But she
very
just got, and she was very emotional afterwards. I think she did like a post that was emotional and you know, and not, you know, getting the W. And I know how that is. I've been on both sides. It's a heartbreaker. But, you know, Angela Hill is just, she's constantly improving and just looking so great. And, you just have to point that out. You know, we talked about Charles Jourdain. And Marcelo Rojo, who I think he took that on short notice, but he had to, and he was another game fighter. Jeez, those things with his lower body we have to address in the future. If I was his coach,
right, yeah,
things like that. Shit's chambered. So they tried to control your ankles, circle those shits. Forget you. There's ways. There's drills for that. We talked about Ronnie. Love is jiu-jitsu.
And also we touched on Eric Anders Darren Stewart.
And what about Junior Fry with Gloria De Paula, which was excellent. I love
that. Yeah, great fight.
She mixed in her the takedowns during that one, you know, it was well timed. And it was a frustrating fight for Paula, but you know, she's gonna have to work on getting back to her feet a little bit better. Okay, that's that. Good job, Angela Hill. Ryan's. Oh, what about Ryan? Ryan.
Oh, that did tremendous, wow. Tremendous TKO. Over Serkinov, yeah, first round.
That was first round, first minute 11. And hey, man, Misha is no Misha.
Misha Serkinov, yeah.
That, you know, that's not an easy guy to put out so easily. But you know, Ryan Spann, man, he's got a lot of experience. He's looking great. I want to get him on soon. Yeah, I want to get him on soon. You know what I mean, Jimmy? Sorry,
people. I would love to talk to Ryan.
I want to talk to people. You know,
how about Dan Ige over Gavin Tucker? 22 seconds. I mean, that was another devastating.
I like that.
Yeah, devastating.
I like that. Him and his Eric Nixick, his trainer. There was a thing on Instagram with on Ige's thing with something to the Puff Daddy song, like bam, bam. I cannot like that. we ain't going nowhere. So how's it go?
I don't know.
Going nowhere. Because we're bad boys. It's that song. So it's Ige like this, and then you get Eric behind him like this, and he does like a shotgun to, it's either a beer or energy drink. I'm assuming it's a beer. But anyway, check out Dan Ige on Instagram. But props to him, man. Holy shit. That's what you do. The fucking, because his last fight before that, if I'm not mistaken, was the Calvin Kattar fight where he came up a little short. No pun intended, Jimmy. I'm 5'6".
Right, okay. Of course not.
5'6", a dynamite. But anyway, that's what you do. That's how you come back. No words. You don't need to say anything. Just come back. You make an example of the next guy, Jimmy. Jimmy, yeah. It's like when you totally fucking bomb on stage, you go to the next audience, I'm going to make a fucking example of. Right? Remember you told me that time? The time you go, I bombed. I go, the next audience, I'm going to fucking destroy. You never said that to me. But my point is, I'm trying to relate what I used to do and what you do.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that. Thank you.
I'm with you.
For that analogy.
I'm with you.
All right. Jimmy, where are we? Where are we, Jimmy? Fucking hey, Danny Ige.
Yeah.
In the rhyme. Here we go. You know why it's so small on my phone? I gotta make it bigger.
Jonathan Martinez, dropped by Davy Grant. And Martinez was looking very good in that first round. Heavy leg kicks, looking really good.
Yes.
And Davy Grant got that second round TKO.
Martinez, because I gotta talk about, after this, I want to talk about Garcia because I like Cub Swanson's cornering with him. But remind me about that in 2 seconds.
Okay.
Talked about. People, you know I got ADD, but I got the knowledge. Let's get back to it.
Nasrat Haqparast looked great. Really good over Rafa Garcia. Very good.
And I like the cornering of Cub Swanson with his guy, with Rodriguez. Because you could tell he knew him. He goes, I like when he went back to the corner of the first round. And the first thing he said to him, he's like, all right, did you prove your point? Because he was standing up with him a lot. And the game plan was to mix in the takedowns, I believe. So I like the way you just said that right off the bat to him. And then the other one's smiling like, yeah, I did. But you know what I mean? I like little moments like that. It shows me that they know each other. You know what I mean? So I like that a lot. I don't know. I just wanted to point that out. And a great fight. And I'll tell you that Nazareth is a fucking, man, he's a problem. You know, because he doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't get somebody out of there right away, you know, or he doesn't get anybody out. He stays the course.
Yeah, if I remember right, he won the first and third. I think Garcia won the second round, and I could be remembering that incorrectly, but I'm thinking he won the first
second round. Was closer. Somebody.
Yeah, I thought it was 29-28. I'm always, again, 30-27, according to one official.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Garcia was in that fight, but you know, talking about the Garcia fight, yes?
Yeah.
But the Nazarite, like I said, man, he stayed the course. He just threw out. And I good night of fights, dude.
Great good night of fights. Yes.
You know, really good night. Eric Anders was looking great until the
I know.
And then, what I mean is guys get caught up in the action, and then there's always the mixture. Is it one hand on the floor, two hands on the floor, both?
Yeah, of course.
It gets a little confusing more than the other rules. Because again, you know, not everybody's gonna be as relaxed. Well, very few people are gonna be as relaxed as Holland. You know what I mean? But they want to eliminate that threat, is what I'm saying, Jimmy. So they get caught up in it, and I don't think it's deliberate. Most of the time, I really don't think it's. I very rarely do I think it's deliberate. You know,
totally agree.
Like, you don't see the guy on all fours and then going behind him, punching him in the back of the head. No, I mean they know better than that. But you know, hey, listen, the fight game, Jimmy. You know I love you. Anything else you want to talk about? Because I'm here.
Nobody. We are good until when?
Well, Jimmy, not so fast.
Yes.
That's so fast. I'm letting you out in 1 second. I was watching a movie last night. This is not going to be a long movie minute because I didn't watch the whole thing.
Okay.
But our good buddy, Frank Grillo from Kingdom.
Yes.
Warrior. He was great in Kingdom. He was really great. He's in a new movie on Hulu. What the fuck is it called? Guys, look it up. Frank Grillo on Hulu. I was just watching it last night. Don't make me yell for my wife. Everybody will be annoyed because I yell. And I already have a loud mouth. Frank Grillo, Hulu. I was watching it last night. It's like Groundhog Day. What the fuck's it called? Boss Level. It's called Boss Level. Thank you. Nope. Thank you, producers. I counted the 50 Mississippi and they still didn't get it. But listen to me. Just kidding. Yuri, I can't stay managed. But listen, it's a Boss Level with Frank Grillo and Mel Gibson as the bad guy. And I watched it some last night with my wife, and holy shit, it's like picture Groundhog Day. You know when like the guy has to keep repeating the same day every day.
Sure,
but like an action movie, like that's like it's like a, like the craziest action, like one of like high level action, not like cheesy shit. And Frank Grillo's awesome. He's an awesome action star. I loved him when he was Crossbones in the Marvel movies, Jimmy, as you well know. You know, yeah, definitely. It didn't work out for him so well in Civil War. No spoilers. But anyway, Frank Grillo on Hulu, Boss Level. I'm enjoying it. My wife, Jimmy, sometimes my wife makes fun of me. She's a little younger than me. Sometimes she makes fun of me and calls me an old man. Because you know why? Because I'm like, I just got the popcorn. I got the popcorn. I got a cookie dough protein bar. Right? Oh, no. You know what else I got, Jimmy? Which was like the devil is the gluten-free Oreos. Ooh. Oh, Jimmy, those will do you. I'm going to go have some right after this. Those will do you in. So I had that, I had my drink. And, you know, I was into it. It was a good movie. I get tired at night. So I had a long day. I get a little tucked out. So then my wife's like, Michael, what? We watched like 45 minutes. We watched like 20 minutes of it. I tapped that. We're going to watch the rest tonight. But right now, people, it gets you right. It gets you involved right away. You're right away. You're like, boom. We're in, you know? But it was late and I had to go to sleep. My wife's like, seriously? Really? I got the popcorn. And I go, honey, but why? It was really, I thought we clocked in more than we did. It was probably around 18 minutes. Jimmy, that's why I watched the series. Series, I watched an episode, they bang out 30 minutes. Jimmy, you know I love you. And I will talk to you in a couple of days. I expect you. I know you're busy.
Yep.
I expect you to watch Boss Level in the next couple of days.
Indeed, I will.
Wow, really? You could do a lot worse. It's a good movie. Jimmy, I love you. What do you want to plug?
Just there's a new Chip Chipperson podcast up at youtube.com/Chip Chipperson and the Jim and Sam show Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And me and you were both on Cameo and even your buddy Chip's on Cameo.
That's right. Yes. Chip does better than both of us. But I'm not on the app. So go to the website or just go to Chip's Twitter or my Twitter. There's a link tree in there that has the link to my Cameo.
If you want. Linktree. You're so fancy. You got a Linktree.
Oh, I do.
All right, people. Love you all. Bye, Jimmy.
See you, pal.